Welcome to A Dopamine Kick. Yes, another ADHD podcast.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week and we can hyper-focus together on all things ADHD.
This is our journey to diagnosis, the challenges, frustrations and humour that come when living with ADHD as adults.
Let the interrupting begin!
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 108 of A Dopamine Kick. Today we are going to be doing the last in our series of stress management episodes.
Thank God. We listened to the episode back and we realised that I couldn't keep my big mouth shut and told you all that we'll be talking about a lot of different things. So in spirit of keeping to our word, we will talk about all of those different things. And we'll be talking about executive functioning, attention difficulties, emotional dysregulation and lots more things. But before we get into the episode, I thought we'd ask for an update, Shell, on how your niece is doing.
Good. Really good.
Amazing.
We've gone from not really wanting to talk about the future in case we jinx things to tentatively discussing a date when she can come home. So really good. She's no longer on life support, no longer on a ventilator. She's still in hospital, but she's been like downgraded from intensive care onto a lesser care ward. And we're hopeful that in the next couple of weeks, this might all be over, or at least this phase of it might be over. So yeah, at the moment, it's still not out of the woods yet, but much, much happier.
Heading in the right direction, at least.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And your run, how's your run doing? Have you managed to do anything or are you still building it up?
The run has been disastrous, as expected. So first day, I left it until like 10:15, wanted to be in bed for 10. 9:45, my treadmill was still...
I love that. I left it till 9:45, wanted to be in bed for 10.
I know, so already, you know, there's a flaw because it's going to take me at least 15 minutes to do. But my treadmill was still covered in shit and hadn't been turned on. And so I just like grabbed all the stuff that was on it, flung it to one side. It's still there 5 days later. plugged the treadmill on, got on it and started like running straight away. And then it was then that I realised that I didn't know how far a mile was, because there's a little thing on the treadmill, but it's in kilometres, and I've got a watch that tells me how far I've run, but again, it's in kilometres, and you can't really do anything about that when you're actually running. Like, I'm sure there's a way to change it to miles, but not when you're actually running. So that was quite stressful, but obviously, like, zero prep, just went for it. And then the treadmill that I've got at home, like, it's not really a treadmill. It's not designed to run on. It's one of those, you know, those little shitty things that you put under your desk and you're supposed to walk on throughout the day rather than sitting. It's one of those. So you can run on it. It does physically go fast enough, but it's really narrow and really short. So this is a long way of telling you I fucking fell off. I started maladaptively daydreaming, lost my footing, crashed off the side, and I'd only been running 6 minutes.
Strong start then.
I know. So I just thought, fuck, if I stop, I'm not going to start again. So I just like got straight back on, carried on running. I thought, oh, do you know what? It feels fine. Feels totally fine. Doesn't even hurt. I did 2K because I thought that sounded like it was probably over a mile. And then stopped the treadmill, sat down for like 10 minutes. Jamie came upstairs and he's like, oh, you know, how was it? Oh, yeah, no problem. I'm just going to come down to bed in a second. It was all right, really. It was easy. Stood up. Oh, dear Lord. It was like I was standing on like hot coals. Like someone was just like repeatedly stabbing the bottom of my foot with a knife. The most painful. Like hobbled downstairs, crawled into bed. So that was day one, but at least I did it. Day two.
Oh my God, there's more days.
Sorry, I can stop.
No, it's okay. It's just that you are actually doing it.
It's, well, sort of. So day two, which is February the 2nd, I had kind of in my mind thought that I might do like a lot of running on that day. So that's the day that I should have been due. So my miscarriage. That's the day I should have been giving birth. I nearly never actually give birth on that day, but in the absence of a pregnancy, it's the best I've got. So I thought I'd be like, you know, powering through, I'm doing this for my baby that didn't make it, running. I thought I was going to like bank a couple of miles. What actually happened is I bought a big lot of chocolate, sat on the sofa in a blanket, felt like shit, refused to talk to anybody, and just watched TV until bedtime. Also had a really bad IBS flare-up, and spent quite a lot of the evening hugging the toilet.
Sorry, every time we talk about IBS, it just reminds me of that episode where you said you shit yourself.
I was close on Tuesday night. I'm telling you, driving home in the car, I was like, I kept having to like hum to myself because, you know, like it comes in waves. And every time it got really bad, I was just going, like that, just to like try and like relieve some of the pain. So did no running on that day. Third, also did no running because I genuinely thought I'd shit myself if I tried to move at any sort of speed. Like I was still not over the episode.
So sorry if you're listening to this eating dinner.
Yeah, really sorry. Far too much information. Day four, I really didn't want to go for a run, but I thought, this is getting ridiculous now. I'm on day four, I should be 4 miles in and I've only done one run. So I just literally, I was wearing a tracksuit anyway, so I wasn't wearing crazily inappropriate clothes, but I just literally thought, like, I'm making too much of a big deal out of this. I'm just going to put some trainers on and go out. So I did that at about 8 o'clock. And what I actually did was run to our local convenience store, buy snacks and run home. But it was 1.5 miles with a bit of a gap in the middle where I walked around the shop. And then that brings me up to today, which is the 5th. And today, no running has occurred because I've had my... To be fair, there's no reason that I couldn't have run earlier in the day when everyone was in school. But I started hormone therapy this morning and I just feel like I've been hit by a bus. So I didn't go for a run in the day like I meant to. I instead had an hour-long nap during my running time. And then I've had my nieces here this evening and I'm almost certainly just going to crawl into bed after we record this. So the pressure is on for tomorrow because I'll be 6 days in, should be 6 miles in and have run just shy of 3.
And starting hormone therapy.
And started hormone therapy, yeah.
So it's been a week.
It's been a long week, and yeah.
It's been a long week. For me, it's just been the same. Same old boring me, same old week.
No, that's not true. You have some very exciting news.
Do I?
Unexpected news.
Do I?
Yes.
What news?
You're getting assessed.
Oh!
You've only been like trying to accomplish this for the past 18 months, but it's fine. Not a big achievement.
It's not like I'm getting assessed. I reached out to the doctor and managed to get put through to Psychiatry UK, who have already contacted me, even though I've been on the NHS waiting list for over a year now, over a year and a half, maybe. It's got to be.
Yeah, it's over a year. It's a year and a half.
Barely any contact from them. Psychiatry UK have already reached out and I'm filling out the assessment form. So we did think, didn't we, Shal, in the next episode, it might be good if we went through the forms together because it is a bit overwhelming when you...
They are a lot.
Yeah, you get the form and you think, oh my God, I've got so much to put. And I mean, I've started putting some things in there, but it's just, you know, it is overwhelming. And we did do an episode on the assessment and I went back and listened to that, but it's just a lot. It's just a lot to do.
I think we should do it together. And like for two reasons. Firstly, I think it'll be really useful on the podcast for anyone who is about to go through an assessment because it is a lot and it is hard to think of examples when someone puts you on the spot. But then when you watch like shit on TikTok, you're like, oh my God, I do that. Oh my God, I do that.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's some accountability for you because I found those forms really fucking difficult to fill in. And if you've got someone there like with you being like, next one, yeah, then it will... Mm-hmm. Seem less of a chore, I think, anyway.
I don't know how you or anyone else did them. I'm really good when I get hyperfixated I'm focusing. And I just sat down and I was like, oh, so I got the text message. I was like, oh my God, I can get to fill out my form.
Yeah.
I thought it'd just be like some tick list. And then it was asking for examples. I was like, okay, I'm shutting down.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to do this.
I left mine till the last minute. That's how I got mine done. I left it to the last minute and then I was like, shit. And just frantically did it all one evening.
Oh, you can actually do it before this. You can actually do that. So they're not going to stop my progression then.
They give you like a deadline that it has to be done by. And I think I did it like the night before.
Oh, okay. That's fine. It's cool then. We don't need to do it.
I don't recommend it. It was very stressful and I didn't know whether they were going to cancel my assessment.
Okay. Well, we'll do it together in the next episode. It might be helpful for anyone else who's going through the process. And even if you're not going through the same clinic that I'm going through or that Shell's gone through, it's still useful because you will be asked a lot of the same or similar questions.
Yeah, it's a similar process for everyone, so isn't it? They just want examples.
Anyway, we've rambled on and it's been like 15 minutes already, so we probably
should. And we've still not touched on stress.
We still haven't touched on stress, so we should probably start talking about it. So we did mention in the first episode that stress can have a massive impact on ADHD symptoms. So things such as your emotions, your attention, your impulsivity, and just in general, your executive functioning. And the way that it works is if you have any sort of mental health condition, it can just exacerbate it. So when you have ADHD, you already have impulsivity, you already have emotional dysregulation, and you already have attention difficulties and struggles with attention. So you can imagine when you're stressed, that is going to go out of whack and it's just going to raise tenfold. So for example, when I'm stressed, I become more impulsive and more hyperactive. And I talked about this last week, I think. I talk a lot faster when I'm stressed. So if I am stressed, I sometimes lose the ability to talk because I'm talking that fast, I can't get my words out. So I become more hyperactive. My arms are swinging. I can't sit still. I become more restless. And you can physically see that I'm getting more hyperactive. I'm pretty sure, Shell, you've seen me when I've been doing photography for someone and I'm getting really stressed and my eyes are darting everywhere.
You are like a bottle of pop, literally fizzing, actually fizzing.
And that impacts attention. So my attention is not on people. They're talking to me. I can't hear what they're saying to me. I'm physically more distressed. I'm more emotional. So it does have a massive impact on those symptoms. And also as well, I find that I'm more impulsive because I tend to act without thinking, which leads to impulsive decisions, which then can increase stress even more. Because I find that when I'm stressed, I'll tend to just make snap decisions just to kind of get things over and done with. But then I'll sit back and I think, why did I make that decision? Why did I do that? And then I'll spend a lot of time thinking over that decision. And it just leads to a very stressful life, very stressful situations.
Yeah, I would say I'm similar. I definitely, my emotions are a lot more heightened. I feel like I become, I don't know the word, I want to say become more weird, but probably that's not the way to phrase it, not the politically correct way to phrase it. But like things like my eye contact is worse when I'm stressed. I don't want to particularly talk to people. I'm just like lost in my own world, in my own bubble. And if people are trying to like talk to me, even if they're trying to help the situation, like that's just stressing me even more, because really what I just need is to just be left alone, like zero external stimulation, so I can work on whatever is stressing me out. I definitely notice that I become quite different when I'm stressed.
Do you find sometimes as well, if you're in a social situation, or not even a social situation, like just in a situation where you're just out of that comfort of daily life, when people are talking to you or you're trying to have a conversation, like the conversation just doesn't flow as much as it should do? So I tend to like talk about something and then I'll get flustered and then I'll start talking about something completely different. But it's like, I don't know how I've managed to get from that to that, but it's so disorganized. It's so chaotic.
I lose the ability to small talk when I'm stressed. Like I find small talk quite difficult anyway. Like if I know someone, I can chat to them quite happily, but I'm just not very good at talking to people. You know, you get someone and they you know, they can just go up to anybody and they can chat for ages and they're like each other's best friends in like half an hour. I'm not like that at all. And when people try and talk to me and I don't know them, sometimes I can seem really rude, but it's just because in my mind, everything's gone blank. It's like I've forgotten how to talk, it's just tumbleweed. I can't think of what to say. I can't think of a single topic.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And they'll ask me a question and I'll just give like a one word answer. And I must just look like the rudest person ever, but it's just, I don't know, probably anxiety.
Or you just start having like word salad, like just jumbled up sounds come out of my mouth sometimes and I'm like, whatever said that, like why did
sometimes
I say that?
I get like verbal diarrhea, definitely more so when I was younger. I'd get really chatty when I was nervous, but the older I get, the more it's all internal, so I just get really quiet and
it can mess with your moods as well, which leads into emotional dysregulation as well, because if you're stressed about something, then you can get like moody about it, and then that can lead to getting unnecessarily angry, having outbursts just because you're stressed. It all comes on top of you and you think, oh, just leave me alone, I need to sort this out. And it can just be something really simple as doing a tax return and someone wanting your help with, this isn't actually anything that's happened, it's just an example, but someone could say, can you help me with this, and you've got something to do and you're like, I need to finish this first, and you're like, you blow up because they need your help, but you need to get this thing done because that's all that's on your mind at that time. So you have that emotional dysregulation, but also as well, I think, I mean, I don't know, I've never had an official diagnosis or really looked into this too much, only skimmed the surface, but sometimes I do think I have autism as well, or traits of autism, shall I say, because I did an autism test a few months back and I was actually quite shocked that I scored quite high on it. And I think sometimes autism, I don't know if autism's the opposite, I'm not sure how to say this because I don't, like I said, I don't know too much about it, but I feel like autism is like the routine and then ADHD is the out of routine, and they kind of like, they don't dwell. So I feel like a lot of the time I want to keep myself in a routine, but then I get bored of routine. So it's almost like this internal struggle all the time. And it's like, I want change, but then I don't really want change. And then I like, I want to just stay in and do nothing, but then I want to go out and just like, kind of like, there'll be times where I'll say to Adam, I just want to go out and have a night out, but I don't really want to. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't, what I mean is I don't want to go to sleep. It's boring. I want to go and do something, but then I don't really want to.
Yeah, no, I definitely 100% understand that. Like, I always tell people I fell into my career because I couldn't imagine doing anything, whereas, you know, sat at a desk all day, I can't cope with routine. I need every day to be different. But equally, if my life is not a regimented routine, goes to absolute shit.
Exactly. So that just goes to show how just having both at the same time can cause stress, internal stress, because you wanting that one thing and then wanting another thing, and it just causes so much internal conflict, especially for me all the time. I know that there's times where I can just stress myself out. There's not even anything going on, but I'm stressed. I'm making it more stressful for myself. And then obviously with that comes procrastination and stress.
Procrastination for me is so bad with stress. When I get overwhelmed, when I've got so much that I need to do, I just completely shut down and I just go into being, like, sometimes I can be crazily productive. I can get so much done. And like at the end of the day, I'll be like, oh yeah, I've accomplished loads. And then other times, always when I'm overwhelmed about something, I can literally waste a day just wandering around the house.
In a circle.
Like, I don't even know. Almost in a circle, yeah. And then like at the end of the day, you can be like, well, what did you do? It's like, oh, I don't know. I didn't sit down. I just aimlessly wandered about the house, trying to accomplish tasks, but like going into each room, forgetting what I was doing, and then thinking, oh, I'll do this instead. So going upstairs to do that, forgetting as soon as I get to the top of the stairs. And I'll literally do that for like a whole day. And I'll get to the end of the day and I'll be like, I've accomplished nothing. But equally, I've not had a restful, relaxing day, which I probably could have done with. Like, if I was going to accomplish nothing, probably would have been better to have just, you know, been like, fuck it, I'm going to sit on the sofa, watch TV, I'm going to, you know, recharge. I've not done that. But I've also not done anything I needed to get done.
But the thing is, you know, you need those days and it would be better to sit on the sofa or just do something relaxing. But then you feel guilty about planning that in, but you don't do anything anyway. Like, this wasn't what you've just described was me the other day when I was trying to do these psychiatry forms. I was trying to explain what you've just said, but on words, and I just couldn't explain it. Like, when it says, do you feel like you're running on a motor? Like, that's what I wanted to put down on the form, but I couldn't explain that scenario, like how I just aimlessly go from job to job to job to job. I'd sit down, I'd start typing it out, and then I'd be like, this is too hard, let me go and get a drink. And then I'd go and get a drink, and then I'd be doing so, and then I'd just be like wandering around the whole house. And then Adam would say, have you done the forms? I'd be like, I've got a sentence. What have you done all day? Because I said I was going to use the day to do it. I wasn't going to do any work. I was just going to get this done. And I did anything but.
Yeah.
Procrastination has always been a big thing for you, because I remember when we did, I think it was episode 2 or 3, you said, oh, procrastination, I can't wait to do this, I've got so much to talk about. And yet we still didn't realize that you had ADHD.
I'm like the queen of procrastination. But usually for me it's active procrastination, so like I'll find other things that do need to be done but don't critically need to be done at that time, so I don't feel guilty. Like, I couldn't sit and watch TV when I had an important job to do. I would just be too agitated. I wouldn't, like, watch it. But I can do something like, for me, the big example is always exams. Like, when I had exams to do, I would start doing things like alphabetizing my CDs. I'd start cooking, like, gourmet meals from scratch, because you know you need to eat and nutrition is important when you're studying. And then I'd like deep clean the entirety of my accommodation, because you know cleanliness is important.
It's so true.
I was always busy and doing something, it just wasn't revising.
That's just exactly what I do. Do you know, the other night, right, trying to get into this routine of going to bed early, I've been hyper focused on all these podcasts. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get my sleep hygiene down. I know exactly what to do. And yet it hit like 10 o'clock and I was like, I'm not going to bed. I'm just not going to bed. So I started rearranging the house again. I was lying there on the sofa and I thought, do you know what? Fuck it. I can't sit here and relax. I need to put it back to how it was before, because it looked better before. It's like, you know what I mean? Procrastinating.
That, like, when you just said that, I've got, like, PTSD. That is the thing I remember the most about your house rearranging, is no matter how long it took, no matter how many furniture items had to be rearranged, moved rooms, no matter how big of a job it was, immediately as it was finished, you would go, I don't like it. I think it did look better the way it was before.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. But instead of actually saying it out loud, I masked it, because I knew that Adam would get pissed off because he helped me move it all.
Too fucking right.
I sat down on the sofa and I was like, well, this is nice, isn't it?
I used to want to end you.
In my brain thinking, this needs to go back right fucking now. It needs to go back. I can't cope. And then literally, yeah, just went to town on it. But that's the thing, can you procrastinate going to sleep? Because I feel like that's what I do every night. I avoid it.
Yeah, I can't really relate to that, because I think, as I've said before, I like crawl into bed exhausted every evening. So I can't say I've ever suffered with procrastinating sleep.
you are lucky you don't have to deal with insomnia, because it's the worst. Like, literally every night, it doesn't matter how many times I'll say to myself I'm getting an early night, I can't. I look at the clock and I think I'd rather be doing anything. But for me, going to bed when I'm not tired is like you trying to sit down and watch a film when you've got things to do.
Yeah, I know. I can relate. I did have, not a lot, but I did have a couple of months of insomnia when I was pregnant with my daughter. and it was like the worst thing. And I was so angry and frustrated because I was like, I don't do this. I always fall asleep. I've never had insomnia. This is ridiculous. I mean, never's a strong word. Obviously, I get it like before, I used to get it for exams and stuff, like I think most people do, any big stressful event. But other than that, like on an average day, I would never have insomnia. But yeah, that brief period of time when I did have it, I would agree, it's the absolute fucking worst. So tired, but then equally can't let go.
Yeah, it's almost like physically exhausted. Like I am exhausted. I'm not doing much, but I need some sort of stimulation. I'm listening to a podcast at like 3 o'clock in the morning, or I'm just sat in the kitchen, like, or just tidying stuff up in the kitchen. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, but I don't know why I'm doing it, because I should be in bed. But the thought of just lying down and going to sleep is just too much. But then in the day, when it's light, I could fall asleep like a baby. It just doesn't make any sense.
Just nocturnal.
Maybe, just a vampire.
I feel like I have massively deviated again from stress, and this has become quite a long episode. So
don't say you're going to talk about stress next week.
No, I'm going to say we're going to wrap it up.
Yes.
And there is just time for you to tell us what you ADHD'd this week.
I've given all my examples of what I've done this week. The only other thing that happened is, I don't know what it is, but like you were saying, right, you know how you get into a state of one day, everything just gets done.
Yeah.
Like literally everything gets done. So there was one day I woke up, I was feeling like I could take on the world. So I did everything. I made a complaint about something. I ordered a new bank card. I decided that I was going to sort the printer out, which has been sat on my shelf for 4 years with no ink, and I've been saying I'll get round to doing it. Thought I'll sort it out. So I've been doing loose tying up all the odd jobs, right?
Yeah, lots of like boring mundane tasks. That's impressive.
I thought so as well. I thought, do you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give myself a win. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I was talking about we need to celebrate the wins. I did it all. I was like accomplished. I felt so accomplished. And then I took my shiny new bank card to the pub. I get home, get out of the car, and I'm like, where's my bank card? And Adam's like,
oh no.
It must be in the car. So I'm like, okay, you go and look the car. So he goes and look in the car. It's not in there. I'm like, it has to be in there. It's physically impossible for it to be anywhere else, because I did not take it out of my pocket when I paid at the bar. I paid on my iPhone. And he's like, no, it's just not there. I'm praying that it's there. I'm like, it's fallen under the seat. It's done it. I've only gone and lost it again, right?
Oh, but no.
This is like the seventh card, and now they're starting to charge me now because I've just lost it so many times. But the thing is, I only ordered it at the beginning of last week, and it's been lost already. So anyway, Adam, bless him, calls the pub.
Yeah.
And the pub actually have it, right?
No!
I don't understand how it got out anywhere, because I did not take it out of my pocket.
It probably just fell out your pocket when you were standing up.
It couldn't.
It clearly has.
It was in the breast. Oh. The breast pocket.
Who was feeling you
like,
up?
You know, we're like inside your coat. How? How does that happen?
I don't know. But, you know, happy ending to the story. It's not lost forever.
Yeah, but this just tells me that there's something going on with my brain for it to end up on the bar when it didn't need to be there.
Yeah, you've probably like not really thinking, taken it out of your pocket and then thought, no, I'm going to pay on my phone, put it down, picked up your phone and paid on your phone and just totally forgotten that you've done that.
But how?
I mean, do you not do stuff like that in the house all the time? I know I do.
Yeah, I'll put stuff in the fridge.
And I'll think, I've got no memory of putting that there or how that got there, but it was definitely me that did it.
But the you know what the best part about it was, because it's like, you know, sort of like beginning of the month, all the bills start coming out, don't they? So I've got an app on my phone, my bank app, obviously, it tells me when things start coming out. So I started freaking out because my phone started going bing 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 bing.
This is coming out.
And it was going so fast because it all comes out on the same day that it just looked like there was loads of transactions like just being like coming out of my account.
Oh god, have you cancelled the card?
Yes.
Oh my god. No, just ring them up and uncancel it. Say you found it.
You can't now because it's already been cancelled.
Oh,
so the best part about it was, Adam went all the way to get the bank card and the pub was like 40 minutes away.
Oh no.
And didn't tell me that he'd rang the pub. So yeah. So
oh no.
This is what I mean, making impulsive decisions. Oh Adam,
I feel like he always comes out the worst in these stories.
I know.
Oh, I just want to give
a hug. That's what I ADHD this week.
That's pretty bad. You got your partner drove an hour and a half to pick up a bank card for you that you'd already cancelled. I mean, that's pretty
up there. No, you didn't drive an hour and a half. 45 minutes.
40 minutes each way.
Oh, okay. There's been things that I've done for him as well. It balances out. The scales balance out somewhere along the line, surely. Anyway, that's what I ADHD this week, and we will see you next week
for filling in Sparky's forms.
Yes,
we can. I'm going to love this because we're basically just going to talk about loads of issues in your personal life.
Oh damn! I didn't think about this.
Can't wait.
This is what I mean. You love the control. You love it.
I do.
See you next week, guys.
Alright, bye.
Alright, that's everything this week, guys. But if you want to carry on with the conversation, join us over on our social media platforms. We're on all the major channels and our handle is @adopaminekick.
We'd also be super grateful if you could leave us a review on the podcast wherever you're listening, as it helps us to grow our audience and help more people. Okay, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.